Hey, on the bays, seven lines from the bottom. We learned yesterday about the nusach of the get. The Tanakhama had said that the basic nusach is harei hamateres l'chodam. Rabbi Yehuda had said the whole lashon v'dein v'yev l'chaminai. We discussed meforshim. Does Rabbi Yehuda come to add to what the Tanakhama says or to replace it? Lamai said the halacha is that we do both. However, that's what the Gemara is going to ask now. But in v'dein or labor in v'dein, do you actually need this nusach of v'dein in a get or not? In other words, is the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda or not? Toshma, to ask in Rava Begitzi, we see that Rava made a takana that, on the side over here it says maybe Rav, that made a takana that a get should be written as follows, Eich Planya Ba Planya, that we're describing how Plenty Ben Plenty, Potar, has dismissed the Tarech and divorced, yes, Plenius in to say, Plenius' wife, to have us in to say, Minkadim Dina, who was his wife up until now, and he's doing this Minyoma Dinan Ula'olam, from this day and onwards forever. So that's the nusach. The v'dein l'chomer. He didn't say any of the v'dein nusach, implying that according to him it's not necessary. And I says, so what? V'litaymech kulu mitomer. So what? He didn't mention any of the usual lashonis. Didn't mention v'dein, but he didn't mention how to have a terechachol adam either. So ela be'inan. Obviously those things you need. Hachanami be'inan. The same thing you could argue over here that you do actually require v'dein. The machlokes are showing him who actually the halacha is like. The Rambam in Yad HaChazaka mentions that Gufa Shoget is Hareach Materis L'Chaladam, but on the other hand, when he gives the Nusach of the Get, the actual official Nusach, he gives the Lasha, he gives it including the V'dein D'Yavi V'Siminai, and that is how Gitna in fact written.
B'Di-Yavid.
So B'Di-Yavid, maybe it would be valid with only Hareach Materis L'Chaladam, but in general, in Gitin, we try to satisfy all the different opinions, as the Gemara is going to say in a minute, and therefore we add Rabbi Yehuda's Nusach as well. Incidentally, this nusach that we're saying over here, a couple of nuances in it. First of all, the eich is a machloikus rishonim in itself. Eich means this is a description of how such and such was done. So the Rambam has it in his nusach haget. Many other rishonim argue on that, and they say that no, that's appropriate, for example, when you have edus that where a mice are based in, where edus was given and based in, and a shtar is being written to describe what happened here. The get itself is what's accomplishing the divorce. What kind of eich? And in fact, the present-day Nusach of Gittin, the Nusach of Get that you find in Evan Ezer, and as it's done nowadays, doesn't have the word Eich.
Eich means what?
Eich means how.
Oh.
How. Meaning, in other words, Eich Pliny Ben Pliny would mean that this is a description of how Pliny Ben Pliny accomplished such and such. But it's not. It's not the get was. It's not the divorce was accomplished verbally or whatever, and this is just a memorandum of it. The get itself is accomplishing the Gedushin. So Eich is not really appropriate. According to most
Rishonim. Is it tema or is
no, it's not the tema. It's a description. We're describing how this and this happened. But the get is not meant to be a description. It's meant to be the actual thing that accomplishes it. Okay, that's one. Number two, also the Ran and a couple of other Rishonim point out that the Lashon is not really appropriate anyway. What kind of plainy ben plainy, pots of a tardach, etc. That's third person. A get is supposed to be written in first person. I'm not plainy but plainy. I'm doing such and such. Actually, the Chassam Sofer says that, yes, so Rava or Rav, whoever it is, actually did really want to use first person Lashon, but he didn't actually want to say it in that word in order, like, not to bring an Ayin Hara on himself, like, I, Rava, am divorcing my wife, and therefore he said it in third person, but we're meant to understand that it's in first person.
He
could have said,
ooh.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Fine. Okay. Now, in his Lashon, he has two extra things that we haven't had before. He has the Lashon, Miyoma Dinan Ula Olam, that this get is from this day and onward. What's the point of adding those things? Miyoma Dinan is La Pukim Yidu Rav Yosi. This comes to tell us not like Rav Yosi. Gam is Manish or Shtar Mechiyah Cholav. We had previously, a couple of weeks ago, the idea that Rav Yosi says you look at the date of the Shtar, and therefore, and therefore based on that, you know when it's supposed to take effect. So according to Rabbi Yossi, you don't need the word min hayoyim because you just look at the date of the get. Like this, we're saying not like Rabbi Yossi, or actually, Rashi says doesn't necessarily mean the halacha is in fact like Rabbi Yossi. But we want to make sure we want to satisfy all opinions in case later on so this way everybody the thing goes out the heter, that nobody thinks that Jewish family is apostle. In other words, you don't want that at some later date some rav might end up passing like a chachamim against Rav Yosi, and then he's going to say, wait a minute, and get without that apostle. So like this, we cover our bases with that. Ula olam, and when we say Right. So that's why Rava added. That's why Rava put that in his lashon. Ul olam.
What does it say from now? When is now?
Now is the date of the get, but the point is, in other words, according to Rav Yosi, you wouldn't need to say from now. Because remember, we had by the case of a get shimra, where you wrote a date, you wrote a get, a
so
date, but it's also like this when you say really means from the date that it was given, from the date of Masira. So regardless. Regardless whether the halacha is like a Yosi or not, like this, we know for sure the get is like you're explicitly saying. According to Chachamim, you wouldn't say zmana for shtamah chiyacholov. You would say, okay, the date is an adar, but the get was actually given in Nissan. Maybe you only meant to take effect in Nissan. What if the guy died beforehand or something, etc. All the permutations that we talked about before, mehayoyim alacham misa or whatever. Like this, by saying mehayoyim, you make it clear that you mean it to take effect as of now. From
as of today, it's
from when it's given, practically speaking.
So I don't know when it's given.
But at least by having the word mehayoyim in there, you clarify that you don't mean it to take effect at some later date.
No, because the Eidim Asir will tell you.
Fine, that's the point, yeah. No, but even Eidim Asira, according to the Chachamim, you had Eidim Asira, you know it was given on such a date, but you might have only meant it to take effect, La'acham Misa, or whatever, and then you'd have a problem. Ula Olam. Ula Olam, when he says forever, this is La'apukim, midubominei Ravim Rav Nachman, this is to exclude the possibility of the question that Rava asked Rav Nachman, that we had the other day, Drama Hayom Iyat Ishti Olamacha At Ishti, and we said, What if the husband says, today you're not my wife, today the divorce is in effect, but then tomorrow I want you to be back my wife again? We discussed the pros and cons of that. Like this, by writing, well, in the end, we said that it's not necessary. Once it's given to Poska, once the get is cut off, then it's cut off forever. But by writing in, Ula Olam makes it very clear so that there's no room for misunderstanding on that. The Mishnah said Gufish or Get Shikru, the main formula of a Get Shikru for an Eved or Shikha, is Hareat Bascher and Hareat Asmech, is you're a free woman or you're on your own. The Gemara tells in that connection, asking of Yehuda B'shtar Zvini De'Avdi. So in this connection, we'll talk about the Nusach of the Shtar for selling an Eved. So Rav Yehuda made the following takana. The shtar for selling an eved should be written as follows. Avda Denan Mutztak La'Avdu, this slave is definitively an eved, meaning there's no objection possible as far as the sale. Opatir v'atir min charuri, he's separated and he's removed from any charuri, from any freedom. In other words, there's no possibility that he was previously freed, and then I'm selling you someone who was already freed, and I'm claiming that he's an eved. Umin aluli, and from alulois, from false accusations, umin aruri, and from objections, malko or malkasa, of the king and queen, which means, so Rashi explains that he's certifying that this eved has not committed any crime that would make him liable to the death penalty by the king or queen. Because if he was, then that's a mechle batel, because nobody's going to buy.
Maybe he doesn't know.
So he's certifying that I know that he's not.
Under his watch,
but
maybe before he did.
He's taking responsibility. If it turns out that not, then the guy has reason to then the guy has the ability to void the sale. There's other explanations as well. That Amnon has an explanation that Iruri Malko Malksa doesn't mean so much that he's liable to the death penalty, but let's say he's written in the official government documents that he's liable to service, that he's liable to government service, he's liable to be taken for government service at various times, let's say. Like, you know, sort of like nowadays jury duty or whatever. So you're certifying that he's not on any such list. And again, if he is, then that's where you'll be responsible and you'll have to reimburse the guy. V'roshum de'inish le'isaloi, there's no mark of anybody on him, meaning they used to mark avadim, that says that they belong to me, so nobody else has any mark on him that shows they own him. Tosfos brings a different gear, so reshud de'inchi, that he doesn't owe anybody else money, which then you would end up being on the hook for. U'minukum mikol mum, he's clean of any mum. Now, mum doesn't just mean, doesn't really mean a physical blemish, because those you can see at the time. The kind of mum we're talking about, Rashi says, is, for example, he's not a list in Mizuya. He's not an armed robber. which if he was, again, mechle batel, then nobody would want to buy such a slave, and if the new master finds out that the slave is a listing mizuyan, then the sale will be batel. So like this, you're certifying that, again, showing that I'm on the hook for that. Umin shchin, and he's also clean of any shchin, of any boils. Specifically, Rashi says on his face, because if the boils are elsewhere on his body, who cares? But if they're on his face, nobody wants a slave with disfigured like that with boils on his face serving them. What? No. So that's umin shchin. The nofik ad tafka. No, 1 second. The nofik ad tafka, because that's the key thing. The nofik ad tafka. That any shchin that comes out up until tafka. What's tatsar? Rashi says that it's a Persian word for 2 years. The Aruch says it's 3 years, and there's a tshuva from the Gaonim that says that it's 4 years.
It's delayed.
So delayed. In other words, you can have, actually, according to the Gaonim, that it's 4 years, and that there is actually there's a word in Persian, shahar or something like that, is a Persian word for four. So that fits neatly with the word tatsar. Anyway,
what disease
was that? It was some kind of shchin that could go away for a while and then recur. So you're certifying that it's not right now he's clean of any shchin, but later on it may redevelop. You're certifying that in the last 2 or 3 or 4 or whatever years there hasn't been any that might later on recur. This is Rav Yehuda. This is a quotation from Rav Yehuda who lived in Babel. The legal system that the government they lived under was the Persian government. Apparently they use words like tatsar in these kinds of contexts. So Rashi says that's the thing. There is a rule called simpan ba'avodim leka, that if you buy an eved and later on you find out there's something wrong with him, tough luck. But over here, Rabbi Yehuda made the takana that you davka put this in the shtar so that the guy has some protection against that kind of thing. So chadas sa'atik, whether it's a new shchin or an old shchin, if it recurs any time during the next couple of years. Okay, the Gemara says, "My asvase." What's the remedy for such shchin? Which the Chassam Sofer points out, the point of the Gemara asking that is that you're saying that you're certifying it's not going to come back. How do you prevent it? And I think he says the vote is like, how do you prevent it? What do you do to prevent it from
no,
yeah. I'm going to buy it. Ginvara, you use ginvara, which actually says means ginger, umarticha. And silver ore, like after you mine silver, you take out the silver and you have the other chemicals and elements and whatever that are mixed in with it. Kavrita and sulfur, v'chala d'chamra and wine vinegar, u'mishcha d'zeisa and olive oil, v'nafik chivra and white naphtha, which is it's something that you distill from tar, from pitch, whatever. It's sort of like turpentine. You mix all that together, v'shayfile v'gadfa d'avza, and you smear it on him using a goose feather. So that helps cure such shit.
Like psoriasis.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be. Okay. Mishnah says, shloisha gittin psulim. There's 3 kinds of gittin that are possible, but they're possible in the sense they misses a blood kosher. But if a woman does remarry with one of these gittin, then the child from it is still kosher. Bottle would mean it's bottle. Well, in the Rambam's terminology, bottle means it's bottle of the raisa, and possible means it's possible to the bottom. The Gemara uses it more interchangeably, but the point is most gittin that are possible are usually possible in the sense that, like we learned in the previous perek, She'll have to get divorced from her second husband. She'll need a proper get from her first husband. The children are mamzerim. She loses her ksuba, etc., etc. Here we're saying that the child at least is kosher. So Rashi says that this Mishnah must not be like Reb Meir. According to Reb Meir, in fact, the child would be a mamzer even in these cases, because the first case that we're going to have is there's no edim. Reb Meir holds edi chasima pauti. You need edi chasima for it to be a get. So without that, it's not a get. Tosfos near the beginning of the Masechta learned differently that actually the Mishnah could even be according to Reb Meir. Usually Reb Meir says if you mishanim mafesh atavu chachamim, that if you change any of the formulas that the chachamim say, then usually have lot mamzer. Tosfos learns that in these 3 cases the chachamim made that an exception to the rule. Number one,
people be confused if they did.
That's the because all these requirements are, because the various requirements that we're talking about over here, well, as far as Edom, we'll talk about in the Gemara what the scenario is, but because the various requirements that we're dealing with here are all Rabbanan, so the Rabbanan themselves could say that the get is possible, but they themselves could say that the Bedi'evet has lot kosher. We're not going to make the child a mamzer. Number one, kosher b'ksav yadeh ve'enel of Edom. Number one, if the husband wrote it in his own handwriting, but there's no Edom on it. So then Rashi says, since he wrote it with his own hand, so look, the pasuk says the kasa of lasefer krusis v'nasan v'yada. Usually that means he hires a sofer to write it, but fine, it could just as well mean that he wrote it in his own hand. Therefore, that works. So therefore, that works even without signatures of aid. No, we're talking about if he wrote it according to the proper nusach. But there's no aid on it. We'll talk about the details of it in the Gemara. That's number one. Number two, yeshal of Edim ve'en ve'zman. Number two, if there's Edim sign on it, but there's no date.
So he wrote it by himself?
So one is he wrote it by himself, but there's no Edim. There's no Edim sign on it. Ah, so okay, so are we talking about there's Edim Asira? According to Rabbi Elazar, necessarily there'd have to be Edim Asira. According to the mayor, maybe not even really, because according to him, you need signatures, but you need if the husband himself wrote it, then you have the pekasav, you have the get itself is written. There are other rishonim who learn differently that the vort is that if the husband wrote it himself, there's no possibility of error. There's no possibility of the husband afterwards coming and saying, you know what, I object. There's something falsified about this get or whatever. Number two, yeshal of edim ve'en bezman. If there's edim on it, but there's no date. And number three, yesh bezman ve'en ve'ela edechad. Number three, if it has a date, but it only has one aid sign on it. Harei el shloshi gittim sulin. So there you have three gittim that are possible. Vim nisus of lab kosher, but nevertheless, if she does remarry with one of them, the child is still kosher. We don't make, the chachamim didn't make him a mamzer. Rabbi Yezer, actually, it's really three, Rabbi Lazer, Oimer. Even if there's no Edim, but if he gave it to her in the presence of Edim, it's still kosher. The goyim and chasim mishabadim, and she can actually use such a get, even if there's no signatures on it, to collect her ksuba, even from the chasim mishabadim. She'ena Edim chosim emar get, alon pen tikkun olam, because the whole reason why Edim sign on a get is, as we learned previously in the Masechta, pen tikkun olam, because in case the Edim is sira aren't available, in case they died, went to Medina Sayyam or whatever, you still have proof. There is a major machloikas Rishonim on the topic between the Rif and the Rosh, among others, on the topic, does Rabbi Lazar, the halacha in the end, the Gemara is going to say, on a basis like Rabbi Lazar. Is Rabbi Lazar saying that Edim Esira are, that you need Edim Esira and Edim Chasima don't make a difference one way or the other? Or is it, if the Edim Esira aren't available, then we can fall back on the Edim Chasima? And on top of that, as Tosfos mentioned earlier in the Masechta, the possibility that even a commentary belazer, really what it is you need both, ideally. You need Eide, even if you have Eide Chasima, you still need Eide Mesira as well. Okay, so Gemara asks, the two letter, are you telling me there's no other cases where a get is possible but the amnesis of Lab Kasha? Well, it could get Yashan. What about the case of get Yashan that we learned that we learned earlier in the Masechta? Get Yashan, where he gave, what is it? He wrote her a get. Afterwards, he was in Yichud with her, where we said that there's a possibility maybe he was Mephias, or they had Bia, where he was Mevatel the get, whatever the various details are that we talked about at the end. If he was Mevatel the get, but there's a few possibilities, we talked about that, a few possibilities why a get Yashan would be possible. What did we have over there? Rashi had said over there, what did we say? The reason a get Yashan, we said, was no good. We talked about that he may have been the fire served, he may have. So the get itself, we said that we said over there, machlokes b'shama b'tilo. We said that you can. The Shammai says you can use a get yoshin. The Silo says not. But nevertheless, we said over there the reason for the Xeda was that the Silo is considered gita koinim lugna. People are going to think a child. Hello, people are going to think she had a child out of wedlock.
Yeah.
But so still have a lot of kosher. So it's again, she shouldn't get married. The Nissus have a lot of kosher. Why doesn't the Mishnah mention that one? The reason is, the difference is that in that case, if she remarried with a get yashan, we don't even make her get divorced. Here, the three cases of our Mishnah is all, if she remarried, we do force her to get divorced from her second husband. We just don't go so far as making the child a mamzer, from her second marriage a mamzer. Okay, the Gemara says, fine, that works according to the opinion that the Gemara is going to discuss soon within our Mishnah. When we say, im nisus of vlad kosher, does it mean that if she's married, we force her to get divorced, but the vlad is kosher? Or do we mean, once she's married, we don't even force her to get divorced?
Get redivorced.
Well, from her second husband, meaning. Not from her first husband. We're not talking about that. We're talking from the second husband. So that works according to the opinion that that over here in our Mishnah we make her get divorced. El madamahacha loy teitz ma'ikolameima. What about according to the opinion that we don't? Then the case is because valid doraisa. Then the three cases of our Mishnah are exactly like get yashan. So why aren't we listing get yashan? The answer is hasam tinasa l'chatchila hacha di'evin. Because the difference is, according to over there, what we're saying is you shouldn't use such a get because of get yashin. But if she got married, if he did divorce her with a get yashin, even lachatchila she can remarry. Because the only concern was gitta kodim livna. So we're concerned that afterwards she may be pregnant from him, and people are going to think that it was out of wedlock. We don't have to be concerned about her marrying somebody else. So there, she's allowed to marry the chachila. Hacha diyeved. Here, we're only saying, according to the opinion that loy teitzeh, then the diyeved, if she married somebody else, we don't force her to get divorced. But not the chachila, she can marry somebody based on one of these three gifts. But there's still a difference. Okay. Now we can move into that. How about another one?
In our
three cases in our Mishnah, we're saying that she's definitely not allowed to marry somebody else for chachila based on any of these three gittin. If she did, then we're going to have a machloka soon of Rav and Levi, whether she has to get divorced from her
husband.
The first husband gave her a get, one of these three gittin.
Right.
Afterwards, she remarried somebody else.
Right.
So we're going to have, there's no question she's not allowed to do that for chachila. If she did, then you have a machlokas later on between Rav and Levi whether she has to get divorced or not.
From her second husband.
Whereas in the case of Get Yashin, you don't. Not only you don't have to, but even the Chilah she can remarry the Get Yashin. Next, well, you could get Kereach. What about another case, I can tell you, there where we said that Havlad Kosher was the case of not Havlad Kosher necessarily, that's the Gemara's going to be the Gemara's answer, that there's a difference. But another case of a get which is possible to Rabbanon, a get Kereach, the case of the get and the Kosher that we had where there weren't as many signatures of Edom as there were pleats in the get. Into his husband, Avlad Mamza, Avlad Kosher. The difference is, in that case, a get Kereach, if she remarried with it, the child would be considered a Mamzer. Here, the child here, we're saying in our Mishnah, we're saying that they're Avlad Kosher. Okay, Hanichel of Meir, Dharma Kolom Hashanim, Mepeh, Shetel, Chacham, Begitin, Avlad Mamzer. Fine, that works out if we say that Mishnah about get Kereach is according to the Meir. That because you changed the formula of Chum said that Avlad Mamzer. El Rabbanan Ma'iklamema. What about according to the Rabbanan? If our Mishnah is according to the Meir, fine. Then we understand why he doesn't list Get Kereach because he holds it that different. If our Mishnah is like the Rabbanan, why not list Get Kereach as well? They don't hold Avlad Mamzer in that case.
Then he holds that
a get kereach avlad mamzer. So fine, then he doesn't list that in our Mishnah. But the Chachamim do say avlad kosher, so why don't they list it? So if we say that our Mishnah is according to the Chachamim, why not list it? The answer is hasam teitzeh, hachalo teitzeh. The difference would be that in the case of get kereach, we would force her to get divorced from her second husband. Here in our Mishnah, we wouldn't. Okay, so now you have the opposite question as before. Again, that works out according to the opinion that in our Mishnah, that if she gets married with one of these gittin, she doesn't have to get divorced, but yevet. El lamandra mahacha teitzeh ma'ikolameimer. If you're going to say in our Mishnah she needs to get divorced, and you were to say that our Mishnah is according to the Chachamim, wouldn't it be exactly the same? Teitzeh and yet of lan kosher.
It should be mentioned.
The answer is, the mekusha loy kamayri. Okay, you could argue that our Mishnah is talking about the regular kind of get, a get poshered. Not a get mekusha, not this fancy type of get that was created for the pleated get, yeah, pleated and folded and sewn get, yeah, the Mishnah is not even talking about such a thing. That's a whole different kind of thing.
To
today we don't do.
Well, that's also true. That's neither here nor there, yeah. Okay. Next, Vayikra Shloim Malchus. What about the matter of that? What about the matter of the case we had in the previous parak about that you wrote the get using a different dating system. You didn't date according to the local king or empire or whatever. You use a different dating system. We said the get is possible.
Why do we bring this here?
Because we're trying to figure out why our Mishnah says specifically three gittin. Don't we have other cases where get is possible to rabban? So what about the case? What about the case of Shalom Malchus? And again, the answer is Hasam Teitzah, Hachalai Teitzah. Again, the difference is in that case we would say that she does it, that if she was divorced with a get that was written according to a different kingdom, we would force her to get divorced from her second husband. Hachalai Teitzah, because not a get. Here, Lo Teitzah. Again, Hanuchal Mandam Hachalai Teitzah, Lamandam Teitzah Ma'ik Lamemer. Okay, so the Gemara answers is similar to what we had before. Hasam Avlad Mamza, Hacha Avlad Kasher. In the case of where it was dated with a different dating system, the Vlad is Mamza. Here we're saying in our Mishnah we're talking about cases where Avlad Kasher. Again, Hanichal Rav Meir, El Rabbanon Ma'ikal Meimer. So how would you exact sign our Mishnah to coin to the Rabbanon? Why don't they list the case of Shalom Malchus? The answer is Mukim Makir Rav Meir. In that case, necessarily, that opinion, who says that in our Mishnah, just like in the case of Shalom Malchus, we would force, if she was divorced with specific get and then we married, we would force her to get divorced from her second husband, they must necessarily say that our Mishnah goes like her mayor. And then in that case, Vahasim Avlad Mamza, Hacha Avlad Kosher. And then the difference is that in that case, the Vlad is a Mamza, here the Vlad is Kosher.
That's why we don't
listen. Therefore, it's not listed. Now, there is a discussion that Rishonim have about. One of the ones we mentioned in our Mishnah is where there's no date on the get. If you're saying that Shalom Malchus is an issue, why are we saying it's fine if there's no date? And one of the answers that's given is, yes, if you don't write a date in a get at all, then fine. The government couldn't care less. But if you write a date and you write it according to somebody else or according to some other king's numbering system, then they're going to object. Then there's going to be a lack of Shalom Malchus. Whereas if you don't write a get at all, okay, so you didn't write a get. You're not showing any disrespect to them by doing that.
No.
Well, but a get is kind of a public thing, though, actually. I mean, a get is something that's done with a certain bit of publicity. Actually, interesting, you know, talking, we're coming close to Purim now, so appropriate to mention a little thing related to Megillah Esther. We know the famous thing that the Gemara mentions in Megillah that Esther was married to Mordechai, and then Achashverosh took her. So all this time she's going back and forth between them until finally there comes a time when she needs to go voluntarily to Achashverosh and Achasherovati Avati. Now I'm completely lost from you because now it's Berotzen. Tosfos asks over there, why didn't Mordechai divorce her? And that way, at least she's not an Ashes Ish. Okay. So Tosfos there says because a divorce has to be done with publicity. You need aiding. And Mordechai is afraid that it may be found out. So other talk about that. We see in our Mishnah that at least on a deraisa level, if you write a get the ksav yodev ein olav edim, it's valid on a deraisa level. At least, why didn't Mordechai do that? And so the Noda Yehuda says differently than Tosfos. Actually, maybe indeed Mordechai did that. Maybe he gave her a get that at least is valid on a deraisa level. The problem is, what's she saying? B'chasheravati avati, he says, because she's saying, I can't remarry you, because remarriage, there's no question, requires edim. Kedushin and Nisurin require edim. There's too much possibility that it'll become publicized and then we'll both be in danger. So the issue is not, according to the Noda Yehuda, the issue is not that Mordechai didn't give her a get. The issue is that he couldn't remarry her afterwards. Although I don't know what he would do with
Shalom Malchus, in other words.
Not because of Shalom Malchus, but just because, as far as Achashverosh knows, she's his wife, she's his queen. She can't go be marrying somebody else, even if it is Mordechai. I don't know though what the Noda Yehuda would do with the fact that Gemara tells over there that she would be with Achashverosh and then she would tovel and then go sit in Mordechai's lap, which implies that they were still married. So I don't know what he'd do with that.
A Jewish woman that marries a Goyish king, is it considered a marriage?
No, but the point is if it's ba'onis, right? Up until that point, she's saying up until now it's ba'onis. Now it's going to be berotzen, because now for the first time I'm voluntarily going and presenting myself to him to ask on behalf of the Jewish people. And what happens if the Shas Maisa, he says, you know what, I love you, let's do it. But then already having come to him, berotzen, I can't, Okay, so continuing with our Gemara. Fine, now that we went through all these possibilities that the Mishnah could have mentioned and didn't, the Mishnah, that Mishnah has two miyotim. The Mishnah starts off by saying shloisha gitim solim, and then it lists them, and then it finishes off saying hare elu shloisha gitim solim. You have two miyotim in the Mishnah. What does each one of them come to exclude? Minyana direi shalom orti hani gamara. The number three at the beginning of the Mishnah comes to exclude all the other ones that we mentioned that the Mishnah could have listed, and we established why the Mishnah didn't list them for one reason or another. The get kereach, the get yoshan, etc. Minyana de seifalam uti hodatanya. The number at the end, harei elu shloisha gitim solim, comes to exclude the following one that we find in a braisa, the tanya. Hamedi get medinas hayam. Somebody brings a get from medinas hayam, whereas we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, you're supposed to say b'fanu nechta b'fanu nechtam. V'nosne lo v'loy om lo b'fanu nechta b'fanu nechtam. He did not make that declaration. Yotzi Bavlad Mamzer Divrei Meir. So the Meir says that in that case she has to get divorced from her second husband and the child from her second husband of the Mamzer. Because he was Meshanim Mefesh, Tavu Chachamim. He changed the formula of the Chacham say to do. The Chacham ain't a Vlad Mamzer, the Chacham say not. Ketzid Yasi, it's Lenu Heinena. Just take back the get from her. The Yachsevi, it's Nenna Lover Fnishnaim. Give it back to her in the presence of two agents. And at that point he said, Befana Nechta, Befana Nechta. So our Mishnah that mentions Shloisha Gitzim Sulim Vimnitz the Chad Kosher is coming to exclude that case. Because it's going to the mayor in that case, in fact, the Vlad Mamzer. So Tosfos has a couple of ways of explaining. Well, in our Mishnah, yeah, but also Tosfos says there's two other differences, two other things over here. When Minyana Duresha Lamoti Kolhani Damoran, all the ones that we mentioned up until now, the Get Kereach, Get Yoshan, etc., are all things listed in the Mishnayos. So one statement in the Mishnah, Shloisha Gitim Solim, can be excluding all of those. When the Mishnah says, finishes off, Hare Elu Shloisha Gitim Solim, that has to be excluding something that's not in a Mishnah. That is why the Gemara tells us excluding a case that's only mentioned in a Braisa. That's one. And then Tosfos brings another possibility, that the case in the Braisa is a separate case, because unlike the other ones, unlike the ones in our Mishnah and all the ones that the Gemara tried and rejected, those, if they were done, there's no way to make it a kosher get afterwards. If it's a get kereach, okay, there is, in principle, you could add another aid afterwards, but not if it was already delivered. Same thing with the ones that we have over here. There's no date, et cetera. You can't add a date after it was delivered. Whereas in the case of the Braisa, you already delivered it to her, and yet you have the ability to take it back and give it back with the fun and nechtam. So therefore, it's a different kind of case.
And that's why
they need a separate miyut in the Mishnah to exclude it.
The second
miyut is when the Mishnah says, Harei elu shloisha gitim solim. I mean, only these three. Because the fact is, at some point, because the get was a get, and on a deraita level, it's only the rabbanon. It's only for the reasons that we talked about at the beginning of the sefer that we had the takana b'fanan eftem b'fanan eftem. So therefore, you can fix it up after the fact.
Maybe they're talking the same thing after she had a
kid. But as a return, yeah.
Well, you can't give it a get after she had a vlog. You wouldn't step for yes.
Yeah, but Lechura, he can't.
After she gets a case, you'll give her the gift again. It
yeah.
Help
no, but it would. It makes it that at least
the get was the
not really my friend, but at least it makes it that maybe she still have to take it. But at least we don't have a Vlad Mamzer.
In one sense, there's a potential for
them
to give that get before she was married. That's what.
Yeah, I mean, we're saying ain't a lot of mamzer, yeah, but l'chura, it means we're doing it afterwards, but yeah. I don't know if it would be Lamatreya per se. It still might be that in that case, Tetzer. It still might be that in that case, we will force her to get divorced from her second husband. We just won't say Avlad Mamzer because, after all, he did give it to her and say Bufananechtem at some point. Yeah, that's also true, yeah.
We don't have to say
fine. Right. Mishnah continued. So Rav says we're specifically talking about the case where he wrote it with his hand. The question is, hey, which part of the Mishnah is Rav referring to? Ilem Aresha, is he referring to the first part of the Mishnah? Pshita, Ksav Yodik, sorry, the Mishnah says, Kosav Ksav Yodik, he wrote it in his own handwriting, Ve'en Olavedim. The Ela Emtze Isa, you're talking about the middle case, where Yesh Olavedim Ve'en Mezman, what's the problem? Are Yesh Olavedim? There's Edim sign on it, who cares what... The Gemara is asking, what is Rav trying to point out by saying we're talking about a case where he wrote the get? So the first case, he doesn't have to. The Mishnah clearly says that.
Yeah.
The second case, it doesn't matter whether he wrote it or a sofer wrote it. You have Edim sign on it. The psul is not because of who wrote it or who signed it. The psul is because there's no time on it. There's no date on it.
Right.
That's the point. So therefore, what is Rav referring to? Ela a sefer. So Rav must be talking about the sefer. The third case. Yesh beznan ve'en ve'ela edechad. That there's a date on it, but there's only one aid. And then what Rav is trying to tell us is the dafta ksav yodev aid. When do we say havlad kosher is only if the husband himself wrote the get, and then there's one other aid, and then there's one aid signed on it. Have a ksav sofer ve'aid loy, but if it was written by a sofer who didn't sign it, without who the sofer did not sign it, he just wrote it, and then only one aid signed it, loy, then Rav would say that no, that's not what the Mishnah means, and in that case, in fact, Avlad Mamzer.
If you write it and sign it, he's considered an aid.
Well, no, he himself can't be an aid, because he's a korev, for one thing, but at the very fact that he wrote it, again, it accomplishes the cost of law, that he himself wrote the get, it also accomplishes that there's no possibility of error. So therefore, Rav would say, yes, the get is possible, because really you need two aidim signed on it. However, we won't be so machmir as to say Avlad Mamzer. But if somebody else wrote it without signing it, and then you have only one aid signing it, then you still have, there's no vikasa of law. There's no vikasa of law. There is the possibility of error. There's not two aidim. Therefore, have Lad Mamzer. And Rashi says that what Rav is trying to say is, not only in the case where the husband wrote it and there's no aidim, are we saying that she's not supposed to be married with it. Even when there's one aid, the Mishnah would be telling us she's still not supposed to be remarrying with it. Just even if it's a Lad culture.
Does that mean that
Vakasha,
we're going to make a
fake date?
She does marry?
That's what we mentioned before in the Gemara, and we're going to discuss later whether Tate or Loy Tate. That's what we're going to discuss in a little bit in the Gemara. But we haven't gotten to that yet. Shmuel says, no, even if the sofer wrote the get, and there's one aid sign on it, the Mishnah would still be implying that such a get is Havlad Kosher. Sharei Shaninu, Ksav Sofer Ve'ed Kosher, because after all, we have a Mishnah later on in our Masechta, we'll have it tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, that if the sofer wrote the get, and there's one aid sign on it, Kosher.
How can Rav say the opposite?
For Rav, what would Rav answer? He says, "Me dami." How could you compare it? Hafim tinasa b'chatzchila hachadiyevin. In that case, we're saying that she's allowed to marry with such a get b'chatzchila. In this case, we're saying that b'diyevin, if she married, then teitzer or loy teitzer, whatever, and have lab kosher. So it's not the same thing. Shmuel, and Shmuel would answer loy kasha, that there's no because the sofer actually signed it. That's later on the Gemara is going to tell us that this is really not ksav sofer but chasam sofer, which is, as we talked a few weeks ago, this is where the chasam sofer and the ksav sofer got their nicknames from these Gemaras. Chasam sofer, that the sofer not only wrote the get, he signed as one of the aidim, and then another aid signed along with him. Not necessarily. The Gemara is going to talk. We'll learn about it tomorrow. We'll learn on Pezayin Pechet that it's actually not so simple. Whether such a thing may not be valid, may not be the proper way to do it. So Shmuel, Loy Kasha. So Shmuel would say that. Shmuel would say, I don't agree with Rabbi Yirmiyah. Ksav Sofer means exactly what it sounds like. The Sofer only wrote the get. He did not sign it. There's only one signature on the get. So why are we? What's the difference? Why are we saying there that tinasa v'chatzila, and here we're saying she shouldn't? The difference is hava safra de muva or hava safra de lo muva. It depends whether we're talking about a sofer who's an expert or a sofer who's not an expert. Meaning, if the sofer is an expert, Rashi learns, then he knows that a get is only supposed to be written at the husband's instructions. So therefore, we know for a fact that he'll have written the get based on the husband's instructions. And therefore, we can argue that the fact that he wrote it based on the husband's instructions, accomplishes the vikasa of law, and then together with one aid, it's good enough. It's good enough even to allow her to marry the man. As opposed to a sofer, Shein and Muvok, who says he wrote it at the husband's instructions. He may have written it on his own. He may have been writing it for practice or whatever, not realizing that such a thing is no good.
Or her request
or whatever. Tosfos Reed has a different explanation of it. He says that the difference between a sofer muvak and not is if the sofer is muvak, everybody knows who he is, then everybody knows he's perfectly kosher to be an aide. Whereas if he's a sofer shein and muvak, who says? People are not going to even know that he was a kosher to aide. They may think that, you know what, who wrote the get? Maybe an Eved, maybe an Isha, who knows, somebody who's possible to aide. And then we see only one signature on it. They're going to think, hey, a get is kosher with one signature. So that would be the issue. And Rabbi Yochanan said the same thing that we're talking about, the same thing as Rav, that our Mishnah is talking about specifically when is the get kosher if it has only one aid, if it was written in the husband's own handwriting, but not if a sofer wrote it, like Rav, not like Shmuel. Amalei Rabbi Lazar, so Rabbi Lazar, the Amora, not the Tana from our Mishnah of Edim Mesirah Kauti, but the Amora, the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, says to him, Hare Yeshal of Edim. So what's the problem? What's the problem? Aren't there Edim on it? Because Rabbi Lazar thought, when Rabbi Yochanan says, Ksav Yadishininu, he thought he's talking about the second case, Yeshal of Edim Ve'en Bezman. So what's the difference? Who wrote it? There's Edim on it. Amalei HaSefer. But he tells him, no, that's not what I'm referring to. I'm referring to the third case. Yesh Bezman Ve'en Be'la Edechon. But in that case, according to me and according to Rav, it makes a difference whether it was who wrote the get, whether it was the husband or whether it was a third party. Again, because we're talking Ksav Sofer without a signature from the Sofer rather than Chassam Sofer where the Sofer himself actually signed. So the Gemara continues, Zimnin Omer Rav Teitzeh, Zimnin Omer Rav Lo Teitzeh. There was some time when Rav would say, in connection with our Mishnah, with the three Gittim of our Mishnah, that she has to get divorced from her second husband. Sometimes he said that Lo Teitzeh. So, okay, that was what's the situation? Yesh labonim lo teitze, en labonim teitze. It depends whether she has children from her second husband before we found out that the get had a problem. We don't want to be moitzi laz on her children. Given that the Mishnah is telling us the children are kosher, we don't want, if she has children already from her second husband and we're going to force her to get divorced, people are not going to realize that they're kosher. People are going to think they're mamzerim. Why else are we forcing her to get divorced? But it was, no, because maybe that's why Rashi says that we only found out now that there was a problem. Masiv Mazuter Batovia. We have a case in Yevamos, a Mishnah in Yevamos that says V'cholim Shahoyibran Sofik Kedushin a Sofik Gerushin. Any cases of the Chamesh Esrei Noshim, the 15 or 16 women that we learned in Yevamos who are Arayas and therefore are parts of Chalitzer Yibum. If there was a Sofik in their Kiddushin or a Sofik in their divorce from the original brother who now died, then the Tzara needs Chalitza Yibum. Meaning, in other words, so if you have, let's say, the classic case, Bas Achiv, for example, that Reuven married his niece, Shimon's daughter, and as well as another woman, and then he died. Normally we say that because the daughter is Potter from Chalitza Yibum to her father, Shimon, therefore the Tzara is also. But we're saying that if there was a suffix in this niece's in Rachel, the niece's kedushin or gerushin, then her tzara does need chalitza reyivum. Case of suffix kedushin. What would be an example of suffix kedushin? Zorach kedushin. For example, the husband threw the kedushin through the money or the shtar or whatever of kedushin her suffix karev law, suffix karev law. And if the suffix, whether it landed closer to her or closer to him, or not really closer to, we talked about in the previous parak within four amos or in a place where she can watch it but he can't, etc. Yeah. And then he died. Yeah. There was suffix kedushin. And Sofik Gerushin is an example. Kosev Ksav Yad Ve'en Olav Edim. If he wrote it in his handwriting and there's no Edim, the first case of our Mishnah. Yesh Olav Edim Ve'en Bezman. Yesh Bezman Ve'en 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 Ve Harei the Safek Gerushin, and these are all Safek Gerushin. And we're saying her tzara, therefore, cannot be potter for Halitza and Yibum on the basis that she's the tzara of an erva, but she's not necessarily the tzara of an erva. The erva may have been divorced before the guy ever died. Now, the Yamath Loy Tetzis, so if you're telling me, Rav, that we don't even force her to get divorced from the second husband, meaning in other words that it was that it was a valid get. Well, in other words, if we're saying that the get has a certain validity to the extent that Loy Tetzis, Sarasa Afila Yabumi. The Mishnah had said that the tzara needs chalitza, not yibum. But according to you, because just in case there was gerushin, just in case there wasn't, the chalitza covers all the possibilities. You, Rav, are saying that lo teitzeh, meaning the get has a certain validity. What if people are going to think on that basis, look, if we're not even forcing her to get divorced from her second husband, the tzara, the erva, that is, the erva who now went and married somebody else, and lo teitzeh, because she has children, let's say, Rav's scenario, people are going to think it was a fully valid get, and therefore the tzara was not the tzara of an erva at the time when the first husband died, when Reuven died, and she may end up doing yibum. People may end up mistakenly thinking that she should do yibum.
She's the only one.
She's the only one, exactly, because she was the only wife at that time. Right. It was a big deal. Big deal. If she does do yibum, it's only at worst it's an issu d'rabbanan. There's no possible issu d'oraisa that you're getting into over here. Because these gittin are valid on a d'oraisa level, that's what I'm saying. So therefore, even if she does yibum, it's not so bad. Midrabbanan, we want her to do only chalitza. But if, because Loi Teitzeh, that people are mistakenly going to think that she should do yibum, and she ends up doing yibum, no big deal. It's exera, and we don't do that. That's Rav's opinion. That Teitzeh, if she doesn't have children, Loi Teitzeh, if she does have children. Levi Amar La'olam Loi Teitzeh, whereas Levi says, no, she never has to get divorced from the second husband, whether she has children or not. V'chein Amar Rabbi Yechanan La'olam Loi Teitzeh, Rabbi Yechanan says the same thing, she never has to get divorced. V'chein Amar La'olam Loi Teitzeh, Rabbi Yechanan La'olam Loi Teitzeh, and so we also find that, in fact, Rabbi Yechanan once told the children of Rav Chalafta from Huna, the name of the place, on the side of here it says, maybe instead of Huna, it's supposed to be Haifa. Anyway, he tells them, Hachi Amar Avuchon, your father said, apparently their father of Chalafta passed away when the children were young, so they didn't know his teachings in Torah, so Rabbi Yechanan had to inform them. Your father said, La'olam Lo'teitzeh, that she never has to get divorced, like Levi, not like Rav. And also, by the way, he mentions to them another din that your father taught. The Tautzis, Sheba Amar Eina Peselus V'Mechathas, the Tautzis, which is a kind of bug that lives or grows among the stacks of grain, among the piles of grain, does not passel mechatas. Mechatas is paradrum of water. If a bug or most kinds of animals drinks from the water, it can passel it, as we'll talk about in a minute.
They
know what the Gemara is going to define in a second. But yeah, it's some kind of bug that way. The point is, most of the time, if an animal, a bird, or what have you, drinks from the mechatas, it makes them puffle. A few different reasons. Rashi mentions over here. One reason is because most animals and birds or insects or whatever, when they drink from water, then the water drips from their mouths back into it. So therefore, Rashi says therefore the problem is once it gets into their mouths, it's no longer considered mechatas. It's no longer considered mayim chayim. Therefore, when it drips back into the keli, it puffles it. The Rambam gives a different reason because the saliva from their mouth gets mixed into it, and therefore you have saliva mixed in with the mechatas. Tosfos discusses another issue, say chayusid the kli, that you have to have the water exist in the keli the whole time, not that it was put into something else like the insect's mouth or whatever, and then back in. Tosfos discusses the possibility whether it might be a problem of malacha, hesachadas, whatever. Anyway, there's a few different reasons. But whatever it is, a kautis, this kautis, Sheba Amir, does not pass all the mechatas. Your father of Chalafah said that. And my kautis, Amr Abai, didvasa de bene kifi. This is a fly or an insect, Rashi says it's a large insect, like a locust, that lives, de bene kifi, that lives among the stacks of grain. And what it would be in modern terms, I don't know. Whatever it is, if that insect drinks from the mechatos, it doesn't passel them. Masiv Rav Levi Baruch Ketina. I have a contradiction. A Mishnah in Masechta Parah tells us Kol Ofis Posen Mechatos, all kinds of birds, and in the Torah and also in the terminology of the Chachamim, Oif can mean any kind of flying creature. Sheretz Oif, for example, the Torah calls them. So any Oif. Posts in the mechatas, parcels the mechatas if it drinks from it, chutz min ayoyne, except for a dove, mechnesha might set this, because it sucks up the water. So therefore, when it drinks, in other words, again, according to Rashi, most animals or birds or what have you, when they drink some water, some of it inevitably, it drips back in from their mouths into the water. Not a dove. It only sucks up without anything getting back into the water. The Imisa, if what Rav Chalafta is saying is correct, Nisni Chutz Miyoyin of a Kautis, then the Mishnah should be mentioning two exceptions, the dove and the Kautis. The answer is the Mishnah didn't mention because Lo Psikale, because it's not a definitive thing. Digdola, Lo Poslo, Tana Poslo, because actually a large Kautis is the kind that doesn't tassel the Mechatas. A small one would. Okay, Vad Kama, what's the dividing line between large and small? Om Rav Yumi, Vitamin Abadi, Ad Kazayis. Up to the size of a kazayas is considered a small one. Anything larger than that is a large one.
Kazayas meaning...
A kazayas, the size of an olive. No, that means the kautis. If a kautis is smaller than a kazayas, and the bug is smaller than a kazayas, and it drinks from the mechatas, it will passel them. But if it's larger than a kazayas and it drinks from them, then it won't passel them. That's why it actually says it's a large bug, like a locust. Okay. I don't know. Depends whether you're talking a Chazanish Kazayas or a Fulchayana. Yeah. Yeah, a large dragonfly or something could conceivably be bigger than him. I don't know. Okay. Rabbi Lozo and Ma'achapi. We said in the Mishnah that Rabbi Lozo says that even if there's no signatures in the get, it's still kosher, as long as there's Eidim Asira. Omer, have you heard Omer? Now, Halacha could Rabbi Lozo be Gittin. Now, Halacha is like him in Gittin. Then Rabbi Yehuda says, when I told over this vote to Shmuel, that Ravid said, Omer, he said, it's not only in Gittin, ask Shtoris. Actually, that's true in Shtoris in general, that you don't need signatures in them, you just need Eidim Asira. The question is, Rav Sava B'Shtoris Loi? Why? Are you saying that Rav holds that this din only applies to Gittin, but not to other kinds of Shtoris? Other kinds of Shtoris, you do have a pasuk in Yirmiya that says the cost of the safe of a chosim that they're signed. So does that mean Rav would make that distinction? The Mishnah continues, that our Mishnah continues, that you can collect from the Chosim Mishabadim, and Mechora, we're not just talking about Gittin, that she can collect her Ksuba from the Chosim Mishabadim, we mean in general, any kind of debt can be collected with an unsigned Shtar from the Chosim Mishabadim. The answer is, well, most shtaros are only raya ba'alma, fine, but nevertheless, you still, in order to collect from the chosim mishabadim, usually there needs to be a koil. So that's why mil ba'al peh, for example, you can't collect from mishabadim because there's no koil. The answer is Rabbi Lazar, tautiyoma. Rabbi Lazar is actually saying two separate statements in the Mishnah. He's saying as far as gittin, that's a valid get. He's saying as far as other kinds of shtaros, it's also valid, and you collect from the chosim mishabadim. So Rav agrees with Rabbi Lazar on one thing, that it works for Gittin. He disagrees with him on Shtaris, which is entitled with other Shtaris. V'chein Amar Rabbi Yaakov V'idi Amar Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. Allah Chakir Rabbi Lazar V'Gittin. Same thing Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi also says. That only by Gittin, like Rav. On the other hand, Rabbi Yanai Amar, Afilu Reyach Get Einba. Rabbi Yanai says, no, there's not even a Reyach Get in a get that doesn't have signatures on it. He wouldn't even pass over from marrying a Kohen. What do you mean? What do you mean? Rabbi Yanai less led to Rabbi Lazar? What, Rabbi Yanai disagrees with Rabbi Lazar? As we're saying, everybody seems to be agreeing that halakha is like in at least in Gittin.
What does Rabbi Yanai say?
Rabbi Lazar says you don't need signatures in a get. Eidim Asira is enough. But how is Rabbi Yanai saying, on the contrary, there's not even Reach HaGet in it, it's not considered a get for any purpose at all, according to Rabbi Lazar, it's fully valid. The answer is, Hachakama, L'Rabbanan afilu Reach HaGet in. But what Rabbi Yanai is trying to tell us is, according to the Rabbanan, who disagrees with Rabbi Lazar, there's not even Reach HaGet. In other words, you have the Rabbanan versus Rabbi Lazar are polar opposites. The Rabbanan holds no get at all, not even to pass over from a Kohen, and Rabbi Lazar, on the contrary, holds that it's a fully valid get. that she can actually obviously she can never marry a kohen, but at least that even that even okay, maybe she can't chatchila marry with it, so but at least have lot whether teitzer or lo teitzer we discussed before, but at least have lot kosher. Again, you have the same thing, Rish Lakish versus Rabbi Yechanan, same thing, and again, the answer is Hachukama, he's saying the same thing, but he's just saying according to the Rabbanan, that there's no Reach again. So again, he's saying the same thing, that the Rabbanan and Rabbi Lazar are at polar extremes. So far, we've said that the Halacha is like Rabbi Lazar. But that's the maskana. That's the maskana. But we have to break now from Ayres. But yeah, we'll continue tomorrow. That yeah, the maskana is the halacha is like Rabbi Lazar, at least in Gittin, not necessarily by other shtaris, but at least by Gittin.